Good morning, church. Thank you for being here today. God bless you for that. Good singing. Like it. Well, I've been watching a bulletin here lately, and I need to caution y'all about something. We're really, really getting close to that 100 in Sunday morning. So a bunch of you need to stay home next week, because we sure don't want to do that, do we? Just kidding. Thank you. God bless you. Appreciate you being here. That's one of the goals. We hit 50 in Sunday school a few weeks ago, and we're kind of like a mountain railroad there. We're up and down and back and forth, but 85 last Sunday morning. Thank you all for being here. That really means a lot to me. If you brought the Word of God with you this morning, please turn with me to Acts chapter 9. It's going to be a very familiar passage of Scripture down to a point, and then part of it might not be so familiar, but I want to share that with you today. Title of the lesson, the message this morning is Chosen Vessels. Chosen Vessels. I'm going to skip the first part of the 9th chapter. That was Saul's experience on the Damascus Road, where he met Jesus there and he got saved on that Damascus Road. When we get down to verse 9, it says that he was 3 days without sight and neither did he eat. They said that he was led away from there, from the experience, because he was blind. Now, you'll pick up verse 10. I'm going to read quite a bit in chapter 9, so follow along. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas. Now, that's not Judas Iscariot. It's a different Judas. For one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to stop right there for a moment. Shortly after the death of Stephen, at which Saul was present, he held their cloaks while they stoned Stephen to death. And the scripture was very clear. It said, and Saul approved of the things that were done there. And during a time of really, really intense persecution in the church, persecution of Christians wherever they might be found, even at Jerusalem and on the way to Damascus, we find that there's a place where Saul and his band of extremists were heading. And they had paperwork and they had power to arrest and destroy every Christian that they could find. The Word of God is very clear. And I think it's important to understanding how this is going to go down in Ananias' life and in Saul's life to understand those things. At that particular very difficult time for believers, Jesus appeared to Saul on that road. And he will change his entire life because of that one meeting. I'm of the opinion that one message spoken at the right time to the right person can produce amazing things. For me, it took years. Not proud of what I'm about to tell you, but just honest. For me, it took years of sitting in pews much like the ones that you're sitting in here, listening to the gospel being prayed and sung and taught and preached. It took years. before the Holy Spirit finally cracked this shell of mine that I had put myself in, and I gloriously got saved and gave my life to Christ, for which I am so grateful. Jesus was going to use Saul as a chosen vessel. It would be hard for anyone, having known about Saul or having even the misfortune of knowing Saul, if you were a believer, it would be very hard for anyone to believe that that would be a shell that the Holy Spirit could crack. But the story in the Word of God is absolutely true. I believe every word of it. I believe the testimony of Saul on the road to Damascus when he got stopped by Jesus there. And Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And what he's talking about here is that's a piece of wood that used to be mounted to a wagon or to a plow that had a sharpened end on it like a spear. And the farmer would put that on his plow or on his wagon, and the oxen that was not happy about being strapped up there to pull that wagon or that plow would oftentimes kick. And the farmers learned that if they sharpened up a pole and mounted that to their plow or to their wagon, when that oxen would kick, it would be kicking into the end of a sharp spear. And that would generally change the attitude of the oxen, and he would stop kicking. And I thought that was a unique, interesting plan. Jesus said to Saul, listen, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, isn't it? So Saul was a Pharisee. He knew the scriptures. He knew them very well. But the thing about it was, is he had no use for Christianity. He had no use for anyone involved in Christianity. He had no use for Jesus whatsoever. Very intelligent, very learned man. But his passion, excuse me, was going off the wrong direction. He was, he was fighting against the Lord instead of for him. So God spoke to one of his own people there, and he commanded him, commanded Saul to go to a place that he's probably never visited and visit a man that he's never known, probably never even knew him, probably never knew his name. But in this house, he's going to find a man there and blind and praying, not just any man, but the dreaded enemy of Christianity, Saul of Tarsus. He's going to find Saul there. Interesting. And this messenger is going to touch him, and he's going to talk with him, and this blind Pharisee is going to regain his sight. He's going to recover from his condition, and he's ultimately going to become one of God's chosen vessels. Now, what on earth could that possibly mean? What that means, very simple, is that you and I are much like Saul. We are vessels in the hands of the Lord to be used of him. He pours into us that which he wants you and I to share, that which he wants us to pour out in our own lives, and he wants us to become, for lack of a better word, a tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. You and I get the privilege to share the message of Christ, not only with our brothers and sisters in the form of teaching or preaching or singing or praying or fellowship, but we also get to share that with a lost world who may not know the good news of the gospel of Jesus. We have that privilege. We are a vessel, a tool, something that the Lord Jesus can use to spread the word of the gospel. But here's the word I want you to think about for just a moment. Chosen. If you had tried to convince me before I got saved that Jesus was going to choose me, I would have laughed a long time at you. We were, those of us who are believers today, we are very much aware of what we were like before Jesus, aren't we? Very much aware. But I want you to know that there's not a single vessel that God can't use that would give their life to him and allow the Holy Spirit to clean that vessel, empower that vessel, put that vessel to work for the kingdom of God. You can't go too far that the arm of the Lord can't reach you. I said no for a long, long, long time, and I would have bet good money, if I'd have had good money, that it was never going to happen in my life. Sitting in the church as a kid, listening to the gospel over and over again. Jesus is going to use Saul of Tarsus in a way that maybe he would not use very many other people. And I thought verses 15 and 16 was very pointed. After Ananias said, I love this part. After Ananias said, do you know who this guy is? That's what he's saying to Jesus. Do you know who it is that you're sending me to his house? Really? It'd be like if you were a Jew in Nazi-controlled Vienna years and years and years and years and years ago, and they said, well, guess what? I need you to go to Hitler's house. Yeah, or like you and I. Well, listen here, I want you to load up, and I want you to go over to Afghanistan and find that person that's the most radical person on the planet against Christianity and against America. That's the guy I want you to go to. So it's not hard to understand Ananias when he said, you know, I heard about this guy, okay? Verse 13, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, he said, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. In other words, we're talking about this is going on in Damascus. But in Damascus, they heard about Saul and what he did in Jerusalem. And now Saul is at Judas's house in Damascus. And Jesus is saying to Ananias, I need you to go see him. Would you raise your hand and say, oh, yeah, let's go right now? I think about it just a little bit. Sometimes you and I get all twisted up about the assignment that the Holy Spirit has laid on our heart. Like all of a sudden, God, you're sending me to Saul. Are you kidding me? You want me to teach preschool? You want me to work in VBS? Time out, time out. Lord, have you seen them little tricycle motors? Do you know what they do? Do you know what they throw their food at you? And you want me in there? Or Mark, God, what are you talking about? You want me singing in the choir? No, ain't nobody sits close to me when I sing. And that's for a reason. Oh, he stopped preaching and going to meddling early on in the message this morning. Listen, folks, you are a chosen vessel. Your Lord died for you so that you might be everything that he made you to be. I have to give you a personal illustration. And I may share this with you, but it's appropriate this morning. Years and years ago, one of our best friends was the children's pastor at Gateway Baptist Church. And she came to me and she said, I need you to teach third grade VBS. We don't have anybody else. I was youth pastor at the time. And all of a sudden, the walls went up. Nope, I can do youth. I'd even talk to adults, but No. Not children. That's way beyond my ability. She said, get real. Come on. You can teach young people. You can teach children. I said, No. We've had a couple of those in our house. Seen them up close and personal. Not necessarily my first choice. But you'll love it. You'll love it. They're so much fun. Yeah, sure, okay. Finally, she talked me into it. And at the end of the first teaching session in VBS on Monday night, Kenny was hooked. Not by a real hook, but I'm telling you, folks, them kids, God put one specific child in that class, I'm sure, to make sure that I wanted to come back on Tuesday and on Wednesday. I got ready to teach the lesson that was in the material from the children's, from the VBS. I started to read the scripture. It's out of one of the Gospels. Mr. Kenny. Yep, what's your name, son? I can't remember his name. I wished I could. Can I read that? Well, yeah, every word, just right, top to bottom, every word. And then he said, Can I tell all the rest of them what it means? I'm going to get some tea. I'll be back. This kid was amazing. Not only could he read every word of it, but he explained. I just slid my chair back and folded my arms and said, "It's your class, brother. Have at it." You know, I'm talking about third graders. And this kid explained the Word of God as if he grew up there and lived it. And I was shocked. But I had the best week. And I went to Teresa after it was all over with, and I gave her a big old hug. And I said, "You have no idea, but you changed my life this week." She says, "Oh, no. I didn't change your life this week. Them third graders changed your life this week." So I had a really good VBS. I don't know about the kids. It was great for me. I learned a lot that week. Chosen vessel. When you don't want to do something. Y'all know. I just went brain dead. Resist. Yeah. I'll get there eventually. Y'all give me time, okay? I don't get paid by the minute, right? And neither do you, by that matter, so get done, right? Okay, I got you. I resisted, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. If I could be as real as possible this morning, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied as I look out here at your faces that every one of you are a chosen vessel in the hands of God. If you are a believer, none of you are without talent and ability. None of you are without giftedness. None of you are without passions and interests of some level at some point. What I'm asking you to do is, will you be a chosen vessel in this house of God? Will you pray that God would place you where He wants you to be, and that you would gladly serve even if you think maybe it's not possible? I mean, I was a full-grown, card-toting adult, scared to death of kids, which just sounds stupid, don't it? I was hoping maybe they put some suspenders on them and put some meat hooks or something in the room where I could just hang them up there and let them kick till they got better. I know you can't do that, but But I think there's some of you out there that probably needs to be in this choir. Mark, that's a good place for an amen. Come on, what are you waiting for, brother? Amen. I think there's some of you out there that's got abilities to teach. I think there's some of you out there that got ability to serve in the nursery, to help our daycare. Yeah, I saw that hand back there. God bless you, Nadia. I'm just satisfied, and I know for a fact in my own life that the happiest place you'll ever be in the local church is serving somewhere. Buses are made to get on and ride from destination to destination. Churches are made for you to find out where you belong and get busy. It's as simple as that. God said to Ananias, "I need you to get up from here and go down there where Saul's at." And God gave him some pretty good information. He said, "He's blind and praying." Now, if I was Ananias, I would have said, "That's great. Keep him that way." But he didn't. Ananias told him, he's got authority here from the chief priest to bind everybody that calls on his name, on the name of Jesus. I mean, listen, on your name. Lord said, just go your way. He is also a chosen vessel. Now, if you was picking people to promote Christianity and you were Jesus and you're picking people, would you pick Saul? Knowing how ruthless this guy is, how terrible he's been, and how awful he's been to the faith. But you see, Jesus can see into my life and your life what you can't see into my life and your life. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what you're capable of. He knows what you're passionate about. He knows the gifts that He has given you, and He knows the answer you're going to give Him before He ever even asks you. But the beautiful part about this is I'm satisfied all the way to my socks, that you'll never be happy in your local church experience until you find out what you're supposed to be doing while you're there. And I fought that, and I fought that, and I fought that for years and years and years, and I'm a proud loser. You'll never be happier. Church will never mean what it can mean to you until you get busy. Knowing that you are a chosen vessel. Notice what Jesus said to Ananias. He is a chosen vessel unto me. You see, that's the joy of it all. What we do unto the Lord. We don't do this for each other. Not the very first, the highest priority is not for one another. We don't do what we do for each other. We do what we do unto the Lord Jesus. And that makes all the difference in the world and whether or not we're going to hang in there when it stops being fun. It makes all the difference in the world whether or not we're going to trust God to give us that stuff that we don't actually come with. Like buying a car, some stuff, you know, some cars don't come with certain things on them. They got to be added. Sometimes when people get saved, they don't have everything they need at that moment to do the work of the Lord Jesus. But if you hang around the gospel long enough and you pray long enough and you let the Holy Spirit have his way in your life long enough, guess what he does? He transforms you and I into usable vessels. First of all, we're chosen. By the death of Jesus on the cross, he told you how valuable you are. And then we are filled with the Holy Spirit by virtue of our salvation. And then our vessel gets stuff poured into it from this word, from singing, from praying, from being around God's people, from taking care of those things that God has called us to. He said, I'm going to show him, verse 16, how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. All those years of resistance and all those years of killing and imprisoning Christians and all of those years of standing against Christianity, Jesus just told Ananias, that's going to come with a price for Paul, for Saul. I'm going to show him what kind of price he's going to have to pay for all the running and all of the kicking against the pricks and all of the standing against Christianity. And if you want to be, and I'm not going to go there now for interest of time, but if you want to see some of the things that Saul, who would become Paul, and get this, that's the guy that wrote almost a third of our New Testament. Do you think Jesus changed his life? He wrote almost a third of it. Here's the deal. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You can do it now or you can do it later. And read verses 24 through 28. Now let's just go there. Second Corinthians 11, to start with verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Children's church don't sound so bad, does it? Singing in the choir don't sound so bad, does it? Maybe teaching a class or serving in a food ministry or whatever the case might be. Listen, make sure you hear my heart. I'm not taking a cheap shot. We got a lot of really, really faithful workers. And y'all are there on a regular basis, and God bless you. I love you for it. There's a lot of really good things going on in Lena Vista Baptist Church because there's a lot of really good people who love God and they love each other. And I see it getting better and better a little bit at a time. And I need you to know it does not go without notice. I thank you. I realize that the overwhelming majority of ministry done here is done by volunteers. And my heart goes out to you. And I thank you for that. Most of my ministry over 50 years has been in a volunteer basis. I get it. I've had a full-time job up until about 2 weeks ago outside of my ministry opportunities. So I get it when you have to work 40, 50 hours a week. I get it. You're a chosen vessel, and I thank you for doing what you're going to do and what you've been doing and what you will do in the future. I appreciate you for that. And I love Ananias. We don't know hardly anything about Ananias. He's not in Hebrews chapter 11 that talks about all the great people of the faith. He's not listed there beside Moses and Abraham and David and Joseph and all those people. His name is not in lights. There's not many people who could actually tell you, if I had stepped up here and asked you, what do you know about Ananias? Not many believers would know anything at all about Ananias because he's just not that popular name. Let me tell you something. What he did was amazing. Just taking Jesus at his word. Yeah, I know exactly who he is. You just go there. He's chosen the vessel. He's my chosen vessel. I need you to go. Case closed. Listen to verse 17. And Ananias went his way. I'd have needed more information, wouldn't you? And he entered into the house and putting his hands on him, listen to this, brother Saul. Whew. That sounds like an oxymoron. Brother Saul, the guy who killed and hated and imprisoned Christians, you're my brother now? Okay. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Wouldn't you love to be in that group? Let me introduce you to a new guy. This here's Saul of Tarsus. Oh, can you just imagine? Mark, can you imagine our Sunday school class being introduced to Saul on a Sunday morning? I mean, these guys, oh, seriously, we know this guy. We know who this is. Okay? Verse 20, don't miss that. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. We're talking about Saul now. Saul turned in from a Christian killer to a preacher. Just like that. When God wants you to do something, he will provide what you need to make it happen. I'm satisfied like that. He turned me into a VBS teacher of third graders. And I resisted it, and I was not ready, and I was afraid, and I was so wrong. Ananias went on the word of Jesus that it was going to be okay. Verse 21 says, but all that heard him were amazed, and they said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. That bunch of people knew exactly who Saul was. He came with a reputation. They knew who he was. Have you ever been shocked by a friend or a neighbor or somebody in your family or in your life that you've been away from them for quite a while, and the next thing you know, you meet them and they tell you that they got saved? And every memory you got of this person is completely different than the memory that you are now making because they confessed Jesus Christ. The guys who knew me in high school, if most of them were told now that I was Pastor Lena Vista Baptist Church, you got the wrong guy. You can't be talking about that guy. That's not the guy you're talking about, is it really, for sure? These guys didn't believe him. You brought Saul here, seriously? Do you know what this guy does? He kills and imprisons Christians, and you brought him here. Not too smart. But look what took place. He was God's chosen vessel, verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength. And get this, he confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. One week, you're the killer. And then the next week, you're the target. Interesting. One week, you can't believe that there's any chance whatsoever at any time, at any point in your life ever, that God could do in you what he wants to do in you and cause you to be what he wants you to be. It's just not possible for you to conceive that that could ever happen. And the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you through the truth of the Word of God, whether it's preached, prayed, fellowshipped, or sung. And the Holy Spirit makes real the Word of God in your life and in my life. And he says to me, with me, you can do this. With me, you should do this. Why? Because you are a chosen vessel unto me, Jesus said. Not so much unto Lena Vista Baptist Church, although that may be where you practice that. But every moment of your ministry and my ministry, folks, needs to be unto him who deserves it. He's worthy of our ministry. Diane and I had the privilege to go to Jacksonville Friday night, be with some friends. If you've never heard the Florida Worship Choir and Orchestra, I believe in the first day of February, which is a Friday night, they're going to be in First Baptist Church at the Mall in Lakeland. Am I not right? You're shaking your head. You must be in that choir. Yeah. I didn't see you. I'm so sorry. Well, there's only 200 of them. And they're all dressed in black. And they all brought the house down with praise and worship. Why is that? Because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. You're his chosen vessel. And don't you ever forget it. Lost here today, still his chosen vessel. Ask Saul. He'll tell you. Saved here today, but maybe disconnected for whatever reason, bad experience in the past. Don't know. None of my business. You're still his chosen vessel. And what he's asking you to do might seem so far-fetched that you might need an explanation. You might need some things to support that. I listened Friday night. Yeah, Yeah, Friday night. Now that I'm not on a lawnmower any day, I don't know what day of the week it is. I know what day of the week it is by what yards we used to mow. So Diane's got the same problem, so don't laugh at me. Just not laugh at her. Amazing, amazing talent, ability. But you could tell that this was unto the Lord. I never seen so many smiling faces in the choir in my whole life. And they had it on film, so you could see them every now and then, and they'd pan across that choir. And people playing them, these instruments were phenomenal. I didn't really want it to be over. It was magnificent. And your leader is somebody really special now. This cat could preach. He may have missed his calling to be in the music. But it was beautiful. He said, we won't be able to change anything out there. You correct me if I'm wrong. We won't be able to change anything out there until we start changing something in here. And we won't be able to change anything in here until we begin to change something in here. Is that not what he said? You see, we want to make an impact on our world, but it starts before you get to the pew. It starts right there. You are a chosen vessel. Will you be God's chosen vessel? Will you teach that tricycle motor class? Will you work with students? Will you sing in the choir? Will you serve food? God, love everybody here who's doing it. I love all of you anyway, whether you're not doing it or whether you're doing it. Find your place. Let God fill your vessel, and you'll never be happier a day in your life than doing what you need to be doing for His glory and for your growth. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Brother Kenny, if I'm just honest with you, there's never been a day in my life when I ever asked Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I can't go back and tell you. I never stopped and confessed my sins to the Lord that I was lost. I never said to Him that I'm as lost as yesterday and I need you. I never asked Him personally at any time in my life that I can ever recall to be my Lord and Savior. That I never said I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I want to do that, but I've never done it. Maybe today's that day. I don't believe you're here by accident. I don't even believe you're here by choice. I believe you're here by divine appointment, because what's being said and sung and prayed and preached, we all need to hear. And maybe the Holy Spirit made the Word of God real to you today, and you need to make a choice. That's why we have an invitation. These altars are wide open for you to just come down here and get on your knees and tell God what's going on in your life. It's not like He don't know, but maybe you need to say it. Just like Ananias. God, you know who this guy is? Yeah, He knows. Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you've been saved. You need to be baptized. We got plenty of water. We will baptize you. And then, like Jay Dennis used to say, maybe you need to stop dating this church and put a ring on it and get real and become a member here. If that's the case, this invitation's for you. Would you respond? Stand with me as we pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your people. Thank You for guys like Ananias. Lord, we know so little about him, but all that faithfulness of his, that obedience of his, Lord, it speaks volumes to those of us, Lord, who have been there, who have questioned Your choice for our life. We have questioned the fact that we are even a vessel, that You could use us for anything. But, Lord, You said that You choose us, and You proved it at Calvary. Lord, I pray, this is Your invitation. Lord, may You, Holy Spirit, be free in this building from front to back, and may You call those forward, Lord, that need to do that today. We give You the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?